company. Do you want to help me keep the dog in?
Oh.
Hi. Stay. Hello.
How are you doing?
How are you?
Bandit.
A little something.
Hey, how's it going?
Very nice to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Yesterday, we paid a visit to Jeff Bowman, a picture of him being wheeled from the Boston Marathon bombings 2 years ago, both legs missing below the knee, became a symbol of survival. His girlfriend, Erin, who was running the race, is now his wife. They have a new house, their first. He's testing his new advanced prostheses, and they have a new 11-month-old named Nora.
No, that's a pig.
That's a pig.
Yeah, that's a bandit. Yeah, that's nice.
During the trial of the bomber, some survivors went public with whether they wanted the death penalty or life in prison. The Richard family, whose son Martin was killed, daughter Jane lost a leg, and mom was partially blinded, made an appeal to the federal prosecutor and to the public in a letter in the Boston Globe against the death penalty because they said the appeals process would take so long. So what did Jeff think? Well, we spoke to him last year when his book Stronger came out. It's now out in paperback. It tells how he locked eyes with the older bomber before his backpack went off, how he helped police identify the bomber. But also he told us about feeling sorry for the younger brother, wondering what happened to make him do this. Well, yesterday we started by asking his reaction to the jury's verdict on Friday of a death sentence for that younger brother.
This must have been really tough for the jurors, what they saw, you know, all the pictures. You know, I only saw like two or three pictures when I had to testify, and it was horrible to see those pictures of, you know, two dead girls and me and, you know, people blown apart on the ground. And, you know, that must have been tough to see that. And then it must have been tough to have to sentence someone to death. It's a heavy burden to bear. And, you know, my thoughts are with them, and I think they did what they thought was right. My main thing is that I'm confused of why someone would do something like that, put a bag behind a group of kids. That plays with my mind a lot, that someone would want to do that. It was tough for them to make that decision. You know, it's a tough decision.
You always have so much compassion for the other. You're so empathic. You're always thinking of how other people are feeling.
I was taught that in a college English course, thinking of every single angle instead of just your angle. So you have to think of other people's angles and put yourself in other people's shoes. Having to go there every day for 3 months and looking at this kid and then having to put him, you know, sentence him to death. That's really tough.
As you know, many of your fellow survivors had real opinions about what they wanted to hear. Did you going in?
I know there was a letter written to the Globe.
This is the Richards family who lost their son, Martin.
Yeah. And, you know, they are amazing. Bill and Denise, they're amazing. And what they did was, with their lawyer, they called most of the survivors, and we had a huge talk. They pretty much read us that letter that they sent in. And they were like, what do you guys think about this? And, you know, we don't want to go through all these appeals. We want this to be out of the spotlight. We want to move on with our lives.
So they asked all of you.
Yep.
You guys are such a tight community at this point.
Yeah. And, you know, that just, Bill was doing most of the talking, and I didn't hear that before. That was the first time, you know, 2 months ago, I heard him talk about everything.
His opinion that it would be torture to keep going through the appeals process for maybe as long as 10 years.
Every day, you know, he goes with his family.
Were you shocked? Were you thinking, how could he, of all people, not want the death penalty?
No. He has my opinion on it, you know. That kid's life ended as soon as he put that bag down behind those kids. You know, his life ended when he made that choice to do that.
Well, so are you saying you agreed with Bill, with the Richards, that you were against the death penalty because he's already a dead, as they say, a dead man?
Dead man, yeah, exactly. And I said pretty much, Bill, whatever you want to do, I agree with you 100%. A lot of the other survivors said the same thing. You know, we're here with you and we try not to put injuries and stuff in rank. You know, with us, and we don't do it, but, you know, everyone knows that he had probably the worst out of everybody, you know, losing a son. And now that I have a child, I know exactly. I mean, I don't know what I would do if that was my child. You know, he's a very strong person, and I respect him, and that's what I said. You know, I was, like, cheering up, talking to him, and I was like, I'm with you 100%. Whatever you want to do, Bill, whatever your family wants to do, I'm with you 100%.
Well, as much as you want to share, how did other people respond? Because we know, for instance, the Corcorans, the mother, like you, lost both her legs, the daughter severely injured, exactly. Mrs. Norton, both her sons lost a leg. They were very much felt the death penalty was just. They wanted it.
Yep, but there's going to be, you know, it's going to be drawn out, I think. I don't go. I've been there. I went there twice, and that was it. I don't want to see them. I don't want to be in the same courtroom as them.
What was that like? You were the one who locked eyes with his brother. What was it like to see him?
I have my same opinion about him. He wasted his life by hurting tons of other people, and I feel bad for him personally.
You still do. You said that to us.
He's a 21-year-old kid that just got sentenced to death. Part of me has to feel bad for him, but, you know, he chose to put that bag behind a group of kids, and, you know, then that my feeling bad kind of turns real sour real quick when I think about that.
In the sentencing phase, victims will have a chance to make a victim statement directly to him. Yeah. Are you going to choose that?
No, absolutely not. I told my story to him. He knows my story. I have nothing else to say. It doesn't matter what he thinks. He's gone. He had a perfectly great life. He might have not been the richest person or had, you know, but he was going to school. He was liked by, he had friends. That's all you need, you know, that's all you need in life. And he had a decent life. And it's just really weird that someone would just take that. He put that, like, again, like, I try to think of it and try to make sense of it all. And, you know, it all comes down to it. He put that bag behind a group of kids, and I don't think of him anymore.
So what happens now? Do you all say, what an experience we've had together, but maybe we have a little distance from each other now? Or, you know, we have to remain this tightly knit because we're like a piece of fabric now. We're so close. What happens?
I think with all the survivors, we just try to, I hate to say it, but like all the amputees kind of stay really close. The missing body part bond, and we all go through the same crap every day, and it's tough. We're just glad that we're up and walking and that we're, you know, we're doing well.
When you refer to the crap, I mean, some thought they were going to hold on to limbs that they've had to lose recently.
Yeah.
What is some of the crap that we might not think of?
Just like the, you know, socket fit, for instance, on an amputee. It's tough. It's very tough to get a good socket fit. Maybe exercising. Celeste has an awesome personal trainer, Julie, and Celeste would always see me, and she would just nag me, and like a second mom. She's mom number two, that's what I say. And she would just nag me and nag me, and then finally she was like, all right, well, I don't need to nag you, I'll just tell Aaron to nag you. And then Aaron would be on me, so now they just go behind my back, they all talk to Aaron, and then that's how I get.
So Celeste, the other double amputee, is keeping, Aaron, you're nodding, is keeping Jeff motivated and moving.
Yeah,
definitely. He's like, you know, if you just worked out, you would feel a lot better.
It took a while for me to say yes to. And then after I like call her up and like, I'm really emotional. Thank you for making me do this. And then Kevin, her husband, will rib into me. He calls me Capote. Because I wrote a book, and he read it, and he really liked it, but he calls me Capote now, and it's funny. I love it.
We're sitting down with Boston bombing survivor and double amputee Jeff Bowman and his wife Erin, catching some thoughts while their infant sleeps. We asked Erin, does she think that Friday's verdict means a chapter has closed?
I think because the fact that it was a death penalty, I don't feel like it's closed. You know, once we feel like, oh, you know, maybe things are going to get better, maybe things are going to feel back to normal, or something else comes up. You know, we had a baby. So yeah. In a lot of ways, it's good to have distractions, but in some ways, it makes the healing process slow down a little bit.
I'd say the houses are the hardest thing that we have to take care of. When the basement's flooded, I could put on my stubbies, which is like my little legs on pylons.
Stubbies?
Yeah, the stubbies. They're like little feet. I have them in a backpack. Nothing mechanical. So I can't wear these in water because they'll fry.
Tell me about what you have here. So we
have
describe
I have two Genium knees. They're Autobock, German. They have microprocessors, gyroscopes, you know, $100,000 each. It's just amazing. And I have a tailor-made foot. They have two moving parts in them.
Amazing.
Yes. Like the gyroscope will sense if I'm losing balance, and it'll add resistance to the knee.
What else would you want people to know? How are the Bowmans?
I'd say we're fighting through it, and we're getting through it. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my wife, people like Kevy and
your former boss.
Yeah, my former boss at Costco, and I have a lot of help. You know, the city of Boston and all the survivors, and I wouldn't be here without my wife, Erin. I wouldn't even be close.
And without their shared sense of humor. Remember when we were surprised when Jeff's first response was about the jury and not himself?
Well, I think he's a good way of putting himself in other people's shoes, even though you can't wear shoes anymore.
No one wants to put themselves in my shoes. Last time I saw them, they were on Boylston.
I can't believe you're laughing about that. You have to do this, don't you?
Yeah, I think I'd laugh.
You have to laugh. WMT Jeff Bowman and his wife Erin, the next legal step in the case, the sentencing hearing, victims may address the bomber may address the court. As Jeff said, he won't be there. You're listening to Here and Now.